excited about what is going to be brought out today. I've been looking at a couple things, and I really, really need you to believe with me that the Lord will bring this out the way He wants this brought out. Because, you know, we know that the Word says that utterance is very dependent on the listeners. So I need you to believe with me. I need you to pray that the Lord will bring this out in the way that He wants to be brought out. Because today in this Word, there is healing in our bodies. And if we grasp a hold of what's going to be said today and what's going to be shown today, we can receive healing in our bodies right now. Right this very second. So, I'm going to start in the book of Luke, if you have your Bibles. Open up there with me, because it's always good to see it in your Bible yourself, so you know that what's being put up on the screen isn't just something concocted, but you see it yourself. I'm going to start in verse 12. And it says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, Jesus, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, I'm going to pause right there for a second. That to me, I read that, and that to me sounds like a lot of prayers that are being prayed today. Because what is the leper saying here? He sees Jesus, and he said, "Lord, if you will, I know you can make me clean." Let me put it this way. How many times do we pray prayers like this? I might come over here. Where we see things, we see sickness and we see disease in our bodies. We say, "Lord, I know you can, but is it your will? I know you can, but will you?" How many times have we heard people, how many times have we prayed prayers like that? Where, "I know you can, but will you?" And that's what I see this leper saying. If it's your will, if you will it, I know you can. Thank God Jesus answered him. Because in the next verse, Jesus puts forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. I like another version of this that I didn't have put up here, but I read in the Living Bible. He said, Jesus puts forth his hand, touches him, and he says, "Of course I will. Be clean." Now that right there solves me the problem, is it God's will for us to be healed? Because we know that he's God. He's in one being with the Father. So we know that he doesn't change. And we know that he is no respecter of persons, according to the scriptures. So if he's saying it here to this man, he's saying it to you, and he's saying it to me. "I will be clean." Because how many times have we heard some people, and I've got a little story about this, about people saying, "Well, Lord, I want you to teach me something. I got this because I'm being humbled. I am being shown something. I need to learn something from this." There is no reference of that anywhere in the New Testament or in this Bible. If you can show me one time, because I know this, there is not one time where someone comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, I need healing." There is not one time he says, "No, I'm not going to heal you." There is not one time. Or, just think of this. Wouldn't it be funny if Jesus said, "Okay, maybe, but I want you to learn something first." How ridiculous does that sound? What are we to learn? We know from, and we go back and study the Old Covenant in the book of Leviticus and the end of Deuteronomy, we know that every sickness is under the curse. And we know that every sickness is a penalty of sin. Now I'm not saying, don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying that, you know, we sin so God's going to slap us with a little bit of diabetes. We sin and we're going to slap with a little bit of cancer. That is not what I'm saying. when sin comes about, what happens is we take ourselves out of the will of God and into the will of the enemy. And the will of the enemy, according to John 10:10, is to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the only thing he's around to do. That is the only thing that he's trying to get from us. He's trying to steal our health. He's trying to steal our finances. He is trying to destroy our lives, and he's trying to kill us. Everything leads to death with him. Everything. And sin, what sin does is it takes us out of the will of God because we've broken the will of God, broken his commandments, what we know that we were supposed to do, and moved over into the pathway of the will of the enemy. That's the only way that we can receive sickness and get sickness into our bodies. And I got a proof of this. And now I'm going to take you over to Isaiah 53. And it's good that we're going to study this now because Isaiah 53, this is powerful. This, to me, has become so rich. I'm starting in verse 2. This is so powerful. And we really have to listen with our hearts here because in this, I'm going to show you something that the Lord has shown me about how we receive our healing. Okay? It says, "For he shall grow up," this is the prophet Isaiah prophesying about the coming Messiah. It says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him." And what does that mean? That simply means that he's an ordinary person. We're not going to be marveled by this, "Wow, look at this guy." And it simply means there's no beauty about him, no exceptional beauty that, "Wow, that is a stunning person." It means he's an everyday person. He's an everyday man. That's all this is saying right here. He's saying there's no form of comeliness. There's no great beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men." So he goes from being this normal person, this normal man just being around, to being despised and then rejected. Now he's not just a normal person. Now he's a hated person. Why is he hated? Because of the good news that he's bringing. The breaking of traditions. All of the things in his ministry made him a despised person, mainly of the religious people that were trying to get people to believe things their way. "No, we can't have freedom to be healed. We can't have this. We can't have this. This doesn't compute with what we're trying to get along." So anytime anybody's trying to mold us into a tradition, that is to be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Christ came to set us free from traditions and to live in the newness of life. That's why he was hated. That's why he was despised. And now this next part, "a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Now those two, it's very unfortunate that those two words were translated sorrows and grief, because that's not an accurate translation. And I love the King James. That's why I always, every time I do my studying, I base it out of the King James, I preach out of the King James. I love the King James, but it's unfortunate that it's sorrows and griefs, because I've heard songs, I have heard things with these words, and it always made me think that he was a sad person. He was acquainted with grief, and he was acquainted with sorrow. And I looked these up, and the original word for sorrows here in the Hebrew is makab, or makob, M-A-K-O-B, which means, directly translated, pain. And griefs is the Hebrew word choli, C-H-O-L-I, which literally translated means sickness and weakness. So let's insert that here. A man of sorrows or pains and acquainted with sickness and weakness. How? How? How is he a man acquainted with sickness? If sickness is a penalty of sin, and Jesus never sinned. We know that. Jesus never sinned. So according to that, I would say in Jesus' own lifetime, through his life, Jesus was never sick. Jesus had no pain. Why? Because it's under the curse. He lived in the blessing. He lived under the statutes of God. And he lived in the newness of life that God has laid up for us. How is he acquainted with this? Well, he's acquainted with it because coming up, we see how he took on all of our sin. Let's continue here. "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely," now I love this word surely, because that means pay special attention to this. It's almost like Jesus saying, most assuredly I tell you, or verily, verily. This is Isaiah's way of saying that. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now again, same words as before, griefs and sorrows. Same mistranslation here. The original words are, surely he has borne our sicknesses and weakness. Surely he has carried our pains. He has carried our sickness and borne. He has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses and pains. He has carried all that and he has borne it. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, pause here. That shows right there, for our transgressions, for the things that we did, for the things, and he was bruised for the things that we did, our iniquities, our sin, caused him to be beaten. And now this is a normal, like, especially back then in this area of the world, even now, if you think about it, there are areas of the world, I know Singapore, I know many places in Southern Asia and the Middle East, if you transgress the law, you are beaten. You're not beaten for doing something good. You're just not. That's not how it works. Like, you got a good report card. Well, let's go out and bag it. I'm going to whip you a little bit. It doesn't work like that. You're beaten for something that you've done wrong. Okay? Now, I'm setting up this picture of why this beating was taking place. He was beaten for our sins. He was beaten for breaking the law of God. But he didn't do it. But he took it on for us. And by his stripes, now this word stripes there is another word that's kind of been, like we think of the whipping with stripes, but the word there really means bruise. And it gives the idea of being beaten with a rod or a cane. Now, I'm not trying to set up a debate where what instrument was used by the Romans. I'm not trying to do that. But the, I'm just saying the original word here, and the reason why it's using bruise is because it wants to get this idea of getting beaten for a punishment. Now, all of this, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to continue on here until verse 7. The next verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all sinned. We've all gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. Not the way of the Lord, but to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our iniquities, all of our sin was placed on him and laid on him by the Lord. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. This is key, and I'm going to be coming back to this. Now, keep this in mind. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Okay, that's two times it mentions how he doesn't open his mouth. Now let's think of this whole picture going on here. Isaiah is looking through the centuries. He is looking through time at the Savior, at the Messiah coming. And he says, he's getting beaten. But look at that man. Look at that Messiah. He's taking our sickness. I see him. He's taking on our pains. He is taking on all these things. And it's because of our sin. He's taking it on. He's this perfect, he's this lamb. And he's not saying anything. He is taking it on for us, and by those wounds, we are healed. By that beating, we are healed. Now, it doesn't say, and that, I think it's important that it says bruise in all those scriptures, because it's giving that idea of the beating. It's giving the idea of the beating. It doesn't say by his blood, we are healed. It says by his bruise. So it doesn't really matter what instrument was used, it doesn't really matter, but it wasn't the shed blood of Jesus that brings about our healing. That's the important thing to think about. The shed blood of Jesus is for the remission of sin. Death on the cross was the penalty for our sin, and a death on the cross had to be done to bring us back to God. That is what had to be done. He had to die a death, a blameless death. He had to die for us to be in communion with God. I think we can all completely agree with that, that it was a death that had to happen. So why a beating? Why was he scourged by the Romans? Why? And I also have proof. The next scripture, Matthew, these griefs and sorrows, I'm saying these words are mistranslated here, griefs and sorrows. If you don't have access to a concordance or different versions of the Bible, I have proof of this by the Holy Spirit in the book of Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to go there real fast and we'll show you here. And it's Matthew 8 verse 16. And it starts there. When the even was come, they brought unto him they that were possessed with devils, and he cast out spirits with his word, with the word. That's what we're learning today. We're learning this word of Jesus and the word of God. And healed all, A-L-L, all that were sick. Every single one that was sick, he healed. Next verse. Now, this is the key. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Well, here earlier in Isaiah, we saw griefs and sorrows. Here he's saying infirmities and sicknesses. And I was listening to a minister talking about this, and he said that he had a personal friend that was on one of these committees for these new translations of the Bible, where they're going through their Greek and Hebrew, and they're looking at what the words mean, and they're going through these new translations to help people understand scriptures better. And when they came to Isaiah 53, griefs and sorrows, and in these committees, they have people from all denominations coming in to make up a committee so that not one denomination is being represented alone. That it's fair for everybody. Everybody has their say, and everybody sees how this is accurate. When they came up to Isaiah 53, came in griefs and sorrows, they looked at the words and were like, okay, this means weakness. This means sickness. This means pain. But the King James doesn't really translate it this way. It translated griefs and sorrows. And the discussion was, and the debate was, should we translate it like it literally says, or should we go with what we know? With what we know, because if we translate it sickness and weakness and pain, that could play into this whole charismatic movement too much. It would give them too much credence that we don't have to be sick, and sickness is a blessing of God, and that we can learn something from it. There were two men, one of which was a friend of this minister, and they said, if you don't translate it the way it's written, we're walking out. And what was the result? They walked out. They left this committee that was translating a new translation of the Bible because the people refused to translate it in the words that it's really saying here. And this is the Holy Spirit confirming his word, saying that he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And now we see in Isaiah, back to Isaiah 53, this beating is what he took to take our sicknesses. This beating by his stripes, and Peter refers to it, 1 Peter, that by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah is looking forward to the Messiah coming. Peter is looking back at the Messiah who has come, and Peter uses the same word for stripes, only he uses it in Greek, and it's the Greek word for bruise. Now he's using these words to make sure that we know it's the beating. We know it's the beating that Jesus took because of our sins. The penalty for our sins is you require a beating, and to come back to God requires a death. Now he had to die. He had to die for us to come back to God. So why did he have to get beaten? Why did he have to go through a scourging by these Romans? He didn't have to. A scourging and a beating was not a requirement for redemption. It's not. It's not a requirement at all. A death is a requirement for redemption. So why did he take a beating? And he opened not his mouth. He didn't say anything. He took the beating. And I get these flashes of the passion. And I get, you know, that's because it's a very visual thing for us now, that he's getting whipped. And there's this one shot in that movie that just really touches me. Every single time I see it, I'm just moved to tears. I think about it, I start getting choked up. And it's where he's getting beaten, he's getting whipped, and his body's getting so weak that he goes to his knees, and it shows a picture of his hands just shaking. And he clenches a fist. He clenches a fist, and he takes this beating, and he says not a word. Why? Why does he not say anything, and why does he take the beating? Because by that beating, we can receive our healing. And once we believe this just as much as we believe that through his death we are in union with God again, and he has remitted our sins by his shed blood, once we believe and stand in faith that since he took this beating, we can receive our healing, that's what it's for, is it? And most people say, why did he take the beating? Well, it's for our sins. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible does not say he took the beating so that we could be forgiven. It does not say that. We got to get that out of our mind. He took the beating so we could be healed. Is that making sense? Is that sinking in? He took the beating so that we could receive our healing. And the reason why he didn't say a word, because if he had opened his mouth and said something, and if he, like the theme today, spoke boldly, because Jesus always spoke boldly. He always had words that came through the influence of the Holy Spirit, because he lived his life in the blessing of God. If he would have said one word, it all would have had to have stopped, because it legally, in the Spirit, it legally could not happen. Legally. And we know, I have come to believe this, that the enemy, Satan, the devil, is a very legalistic enemy. If we say, and we all these jokes about, oh, well, this swine flu, I hope I'm not going to get that, and we constantly talk about these things and open our mouths boldly in the wrong way, he's legalistic enough to say, they said it, I can put it on. That's how he works. This is how he works. And if Jesus would have said something, if he would have said one word, he legally would have had to stop everything, because he couldn't do it. And you can just imagine the evil forces rejoicing, like, look at him, he's not saying anything, and we can do this. That's why Jesus said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. And also, no man causes me to get beaten. I allow myself to get beaten. Because of this beating, we can be healed. And I like this in Isaiah 53, verse 10. Let me go back there real fast. Isaiah 53, verse 10, coming down, says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord. So it wasn't just the Romans bruising Jesus. It was the Lord bruising him. And that sounds weird. And that sounds really, really weird that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And the next part, he hath put him to grief. Same word, grief. Same word, translated. Sickness. And in the Amplified right here, let me just read this to you, because this is powerful. I'm telling you, this is powerful. It says, yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. God had to make Jesus sick. He had to put that bruise on him, and he had to make him sick. Why? So that we wouldn't have to be. Jesus was made sick. He bore our grief, which is sickness. He bore carried our sorrows, which is pains. And I think pains are one of the biggest tools that the devil can use in us to make us forget the promises of God. Because we feel pain. It hurts. We feel it in our bodies, and we're saying this pain is here. and I know you said this. And then we come back to the prayer, and the prayer which the leper said, I know you can, but will you? Because this hurts. Well, Jesus took the beating so that we could say, this isn't legal. This is illegal for this pain. This is illegal for this sickness to come upon me. And I'm telling you, once we get this, just as much as we believe that the shed blood of Jesus covers and removes our sin, not covers, but removes our sin completely, then we will be healed. Because just like we believe we're saved, we have to believe that he took this. It's kind of like I said, if we go to a foreign country where they have these beatings, like I said, in Singapore and many parts of the Middle East, if we go on a vacation together, if we travel and go around the world and we stop in these places and you inadvertently break the law, and under their law, you have to be taken out to the square and you have to be beaten. Because, and there are places in the world where this still happens. And I'm with you and I decide, you know what, I might be younger, I might feel like I could take it better than you can. I say, hey, you know, I know they did this and your law requires a beating. Can I take it for them? Because I don't think they would make it. I just don't think they would make it. And your law requires a beating. Can I take it for them? They're saying, yeah, under our laws, you can take it. We just require a beating that people know and an example is made that this type of thing is going to lead to a beating. And this is why it's happening. It's being a beating is taking place because of this law being broken. Doesn't matter who it is, just a beating has to take place. So I go off. They come in for me in the morning, and I go off, and I take this beating. And the next day, I am in bed. It takes me 3 weeks to recover. I am, like, just laid up. I took this beating for you. And, like, the day after I take this beating, when I'm laying in bed, they come back to your hotel room, and they say, come on, we're going to take you for your beating. You broke the law. You have to get beaten. What would you say? We would most likely say, but Jeff took my beating because we felt that he could do it better and handle it more than I could. And if we say nothing and just let ourselves be taken off to get beaten, whose fault is that? It's really yours. If I got beat for nothing, if you're going to take it anyway, why would I let myself get beaten for you if you're going to get beaten anyway? That's just ridiculous thinking. It would be ridiculous. It would make me taking the beating for you pointless and fruitless and completely nullify every reason I did it, right? It's the same thing when it comes to Jesus. He took this beating and he took this, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the prophet Isaiah says, I see what he's doing by taking this beating. He is removing our sickness. He's removing our pain. I see it. I see it. He didn't see Romans. He saw the Lord doing it. And I see why he's doing it. Because by those wounds, we are healed. And Peter sees it also, looking back at it this time, and by those wounds, by that bruise, by those stripes, we were healed, looking back. And if we accept the sickness, if we receive it and don't come against it, then we let Jesus take that beating before the cross, which wasn't required for redemption. He took that beating for no reason. He stood at the whipping post, silent, for us, so that we could say something. And if we don't say anything, he stayed silent for no reason. I think that's a key thing. Like, a lot of times nowadays, people have this idea, we have to be Christ-like. We have to be like Jesus, so if I'm getting beat up by something right now in life, he was silent. He was silent. I gotta be silent like Jesus, and I gotta take it as a good soldier of the Lord. I gotta suffer for Jesus. You know? Here's one thing that we really have to realize when it comes to that. that yes, we are supposed to be Christ-like, but we are not supposed to be Christ-like in every single situation. Now, this is going to be very non-religious right here, because religion says we have to be like Jesus at all times. No. No way. We are not to be like Jesus at all times, because there are times when Jesus became a substitution for us. And as that substitution, he's doing it so we don't have to do it. He's being a substitute. This is what you would have to do, but I'm doing it so you can say something. So you can speak boldly when this comes upon you, and when these pains and when these sickness come upon you. I was silent so you could say no. And I found a story very similar to this in the book of Acts. It's Acts 22. And it's the Apostle Paul. Now, when the Apostle Paul preached a lot of times, he either got revival or a riot. Sometimes both. But it was either revival or a riot. And this time he was preaching, and it caused a riot. And he was arrested. And it took him to the Romans, and he was going to get beaten. He was going to get a whipping, and they were going to torture him and interrogate him. And now, starting in verse 25, this is Paul being led to where he's going to be beaten. And they bound him with thongs. Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Now, he knew the answer to this. Paul knew that as a Roman citizen, if he was uncondemned and not convicted, they couldn't do anything to him. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't beat him. It would be unlawful, and it could be their head on a plate. He was a Roman citizen, and he knew his rights. And this is a key thing. We have to know our rights. We have to know the will. And that's why I was showing you that leper, that it was God's will to heal him. And he is no respecter of persons. He does not change. We have to know the will and know the rights to be able to say, is this legal? Is this legal for you? And he's saying that here. Is it lawful? Is it legal for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Let me continue on. Verse 26. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou dost, for this man is a Roman." I like how he says. He's like, okay. He goes to the captain, he's like, "Look out. Look out at what you're doing, because this guy is a Roman and you didn't know it. You're in trouble, man. This is going to come down on you. Look out at what you're about to do, because this guy, he's a Roman and he knows his rights." I love this story. And then next, in verse 27, then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman? Are you a Roman?" And he said, Yeah, I am. I really am. And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum I obtained this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was born a free man. I was free born." And that is a wonderful, wonderful image there. Because we know in the scriptures that our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven, and we are not citizens of this world. We are no longer members of this world system. We are now citizens of heaven. And just like then, it's kind of funny how things don't change. This chief captain became a citizen of Rome because he paid a lot of money. Just think of that nowadays. Pay the right person off. Give a large sum to this campaign. Same devil. How things stay the same as time goes by, right? And there's really three ways that you can get citizenship in the Roman Empire. You could pay for it. You could, with a large sum of money, like this chief captain, he paid a large sum of money. Second, you could be in the military and you just great military exploit, and you could be rewarded as a reward of what your service has been. You could be rewarded citizenship. Or third, you could be born to it. And that's where we are in the kingdom, because you have to be born into the kingdom. And when you're born that way, it becomes your nature. The very being of who you are. And you look at the chief captain's response after that, when he realizes that Paul didn't buy it, he didn't earn it, he didn't do anything like that. He was born this way. Wow. Instantly he's released. Instantly he is let go. And he's trying to make up for this. And he's trying to say, whoa, are you okay? Like, maybe I can take care of you. Go on. You're fine. Everything's good. Bye. That's how he's acting when he learns that Paul was born this way. Well, guess what? You were born into the family of God. And you were born with a brand new nature. Your old nature has been completely taken away. And because of the beating that Jesus took, the nature of healing and his remission of sins on your spirit transfers over to how we are to live our lives in the physical. And he took the beating so we could be healed. This is not preached enough. This is not taught enough, because we have these physical ailments that come on us. And just like Paul, when these physical ailments come on us, it's like we're going up to the whipping post for our sin. We're being led. And we're going to receive our beating because that's what it takes. And for our sins. But when those sins have been taken away and been remitted, we don't have to go to the whipping post anymore, because Jesus did it already. He did the beating so we could be healed. And just like Paul, when we're being led up to that whipping post, now what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to say, stay silent like Jesus did and not say a word? No, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. That we can say, is this legal? Because this was legally paid for. Jesus took this for me by his wounds. Check out the wounds. He had them. And he still, his flesh and bone now, and his body still carries the scars of the wounds that he had. So all we have to say is, look at his back. Look at his back. Those wounds are there, so I don't have to get any more wounds myself. And that's how we do it. We have to open our mouth and we have to speak boldly. Is this legal? No. This is not legal. And no matter how we feel, now I know the pain and the feeling of the sickness is there, but when that feeling is there, we have to respond to the feelings. Be like, feelings? Is this legal? Can you do this? No, you can't, because Jesus took this for me. Just like I am free from my sins and I have been completely forgiven, I am completely healed. The easy part about admitting that the sins are gone is we don't feel the sin. Like, we feel the pain. The pain we feel. The sin we don't really feel. I mean, we can see the effects of sin a lot of times, but we don't physically feel, like this, a constant nagging of, look, you sin. Like, sure, it can play our minds a little. And sometimes a lot. But it's not the same thing as feeling a pain. That every time you stand up, I can't stand up the way I used to. I had that for a while. When I was in college, I had a pinched sciatic nerve that, honestly, sometimes was so bad that I thank God that I was in the theater department sometimes, because I would take a cane and walk around campus with a cane. And people thought I was doing a character study. And it was kind of fun that I could pass it off like that. But no, I actually physically needed a cane at times. I did. I would walk up the LRC at ORU, and I would go take a step, and it would always be my left leg, and I would go take a step with that leg, and it completely gave out on me, and I would fall on stairs. And boom, 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 hit some stairs. And those on the outside of LRC, that's the main building there at ORU. Those stairs are made of concrete and sharp tile. Did not feel good at all. But you know what? I opened my mouth. And no matter how long it took, I was saying, this is not right. Jesus took this from me. I'm going to live like that with that the rest of my life. I know many people who have this pitch side eye nerve that they live in constant pain all the time. And I could have easily been one of those. But bless God, I have received my healing. And whenever symptoms try to come back on, I say, no, you know what? This isn't legal. You can't stay here. You have to leave at the authority of what Jesus did for me at that whipping post. And I saw it, and I can see his back in my spirit, and that back means I am healed. Get out of here. 5 minutes later, I feel the same thing. You know what? I told you that this is not legal. And I am telling you right now that I see the back of Jesus. And you just keep reminding your body, and you keep reminding the enemy that this is not legal and it cannot happen anymore, and it has to get out. It has to leave, and it has nothing to do with what we have done. We didn't buy it, we didn't earn it, just like Paul in his beating. I didn't buy mine, I didn't earn mine, I was born this way. And since I was born this way, through him, through that blood, and through that beating, I don't have to take this. And I'm telling you, once we really, really grasp onto this and believe it as much as we know our sins are forgiven, healing comes immediately, just like on the leper. Once that word gets in us, and once we understand and have faith in the fact that this is the will of God, that we be healed, not some of the time, but all of the time, this is it. Every single time, He always says, yes, it is my will, be healed. And immediately, faith rises in that person. How many times do they say, your faith has made you whole? Because once we hear the will of God and we understand that this is what he wants for us, healing comes. Amen. And so we've got to find in the word that will. And we have to have the confidence in it to stand on it and to say, no, I don't think so. It's not because of me.